Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, we've heard so much recently about fake news that I couldn't resist today coming into the studio and giving you an example of fake news when it comes to the scientific enterprise. There's an article in Time magazine by Jeffrey Kluger, and the article is titled, NASA May Have Found the Goldilocks Planet of Goldilocks Planets. Now, that's an intriguing headline. I'm going to deal with it in just a second, but then you get a picture. And the picture grabs your attention straight away because you think you're looking at planet Earth. And the caption under the picture says, the first Earth-sized habitable zone planet discovered by NASA Exoplanet Survey Satellite. So you think that NASA has discovered an Earth-like planet. And the article goes on to say that if there's one beyond Earth, then there's got to be a zillion, as it were, beyond Earth. So again, the fake news in Time magazine is that NASA may have found the Goldilocks planet of Goldilocks planets. Well, when you actually read the article, you see that the title and the article itself conflict one with another. For example, in the article, we read that the planet orbits a red dwarf star. Well, the point here is that a red dwarf star is not regarded to be a promising home star, and therefore, this alone undermines the premise of the article. There's another thing that I saw in the article immediately, and that is a statement that the planet in view, this Goldilocks planet of Goldilocks planets, is tidally locked. Simply stated, that means it keeps the same face turned towards the sun at all time. So picture this for a second. The face of the planet that is toward the sun has a heat that is so intense that you and I could not survive, nor could life in general survive in the face of the sun. The other side of the planet, of course, is dark. And there it is many, many degrees colder at all times than Antarctica. It's a place that is not habitable. So again, within the article itself, you see an undermining of the premise of the article. Another point that could be made is that there is not a shred of evidence that this planet has an accommodating atmosphere, an atmosphere that would make it a habitable planet. And then there's something else very, very interesting, and that is that NASA had a planetary modeling team leader. And the article is based on that team leader's work. And yet what is blithely omitted in the process of forging the article is the statement by this team leader from NASA saying, no matter what we find out about the planet, it's going to look completely different from what we have here on Earth. So the idea of the article is that we found another Earth. And this idea is fomenting the notion that we don't live on a privileged planet, that we live instead on a middling planet, a humdrum star in the universe, an insignificant speck of soil that's aimlessly adrift in a meaningless universe. Well, my good friend Jay Richards, along with Guillermo Gonzalez, wrote a book totally refuting this idea that that the Earth is fraught with mediocrity. Of course, Jay is the same person that wrote the book Eat Fast Feast, which is our premium offer for the month as well. And one of the things that they point out, and I've mentioned this before in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it's worth repeating. They point out that the unique conditions necessary to support intelligent life turn out to provide the best overall conditions for scientific discovery. Why? Because Earth is situated between two arms of a flattened spiral galaxy. Of course, I'm talking about the Milky Way. But we're not too close to the core to be exposed to lethal radiation or light pollution that would obscure observation of distant universe that we're trying to find out about. And we're not so far that a privileged planet could never form or where we would not observe different kinds of nearby stars. And not only so, but the atmosphere of our privileged planet, unlike this fake news planet, is both oxygen-rich for survival and transparent for discovery. Think about this. The moon is the perfect size and distance from Earth to stabilize rotation and to facilitate human habitability. And not only that, but the moon and the sun's relative sizes, as well as distances from Earth, provide perfect solar eclipses, which play, of course, a vital role in the development of modern science. And much more could be said. We could point out that we live in the best overall age of the universe to do cosmology to begin with. It's in our time that the cosmic background radiation left over from the Big Bang is readily observable, but it won't always be. This radiation confirms that the universe is not eternal, but began in the finite past. Most of the astrophysical phenomena that astronomers rely on to measure the universe were not observable earlier in the universe development, and they will eventually fade. But neither could we have survived at earlier or later stages. So this is the Goldilocks stage, if you will. The setting of our privileged planet permits a stunning diversity of measurements from the universe at large, which, of course, is the discipline of cosmology, to the smallest of subatomic particles, quantum physics. And so the Earth's status in the universe is one of privilege. And for Time magazine and its author in this article to reduce this to an accident of cosmic evolution is short-sighted. On the other hand, to do as Jay Richards has done, to recognize it as a privileged planet, is sublime. And I should also mention that there are only a few explanations for the existence of our universe. We could say that the universe is merely an illusion, but that doesn't go very far in an age of scientific enlightenment. We could suggest that the universe sprang from nothing, but nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. That's common sense. Or we could say that the universe eternally existed. The law of entropy, of course, shatters that hypothesis. A universe that eternally existed would have died a heat loss death an eternity ago. But there is one other possibility, and it shatters all of the misconceptions. That possibility is given to us in the very first page of the very first chapter of the very first book of the Book of Books, the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As I say often, in an age of empirical science, no statement could be more certain, clear, or correct. We're coming to station break. On the other side of the break, we'll go to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Just enough time to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Don't forget, for your support this month, the book Eat Fast Feast by Richards. Jay is an incredible author. This book reads like a novel, but it's transformational. Get it at equip.org.
Many Christians today view fasting as weird, unimportant, legalistic, or even unhealthy. If we won't make fasting a part of our lives, we will never enjoy the blessings, physical, mental, and spiritual, that fasting offers. Simply put, many Christians need a paradigm shift when it comes to making fasting a part of their lives. For Christians interested in reaping the physical, mental, and spiritual rewards of fasting, the new book by J.W. Richards, Eat, Fast, Feast, is a must-read. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
The book, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat, Fast, Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And by the way, my wife, Kathy, is putting Eat Fast Feast into practice. She's been marveling at my slim body, my small waist, and my great big biceps. No, they're not there yet. But anyway, she's been putting it into practice. She's already beautiful, but she wants to feel completely healthy, and she's very concerned about the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is her body. So it's not necessarily for vainglory. It is for practical purposes, because as the mother of many, many children and grandchildren, she has to be ready to go at all times. And of course, she is. I don't know how she does it. She sleeps less than any person I know, maybe even less than Donald Trump, who I think only sleeps about 4 hours a night. My son, Paul Stephen, from whom I obtained stem cells, and that's given me a new lease on life. He's also decided to put this into practice. And my goodness, when he puts something into practice, he goes all out. So he's putting every aspect of this into practice. And yesterday I went out to eat with our whole family for a birthday celebration for my daughter, Christina. And Paul Stephen sat there because in the middle of a fast, he sat there and watched us all eat and never ate a bite. That took incredible willpower. Anyway, the book is transformational. Your copy available at equip.org for your support. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go to Joseph in Newburgh, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great.
How's everything with you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you.
It's great to see you back at it again with everything that you were doing before everything went down. It's a blessing to hear you out there on the airwaves again.
Thank you.
I have a little bit of a predicament in a sense. It's like my entire walk in my faith has gotten completely like destroyed in many ways. I've been a child of Roman Catholicism, Protestantism, and Eastern Orthodoxy. And unfortunately, over the past like year or so, I've been finding myself like, in a sense, internally ripped between the three. And for some strange reason, I see truth in everything. I see truth in the three of them. But my problem is I'm really having a hard time settling down on where I need to stay. And it's, you know, I've been praying about it, and I've been asking, you know, the Holy Spirit to guide me about it. But I don't know if it's my own ego, you know, trying to shoot me in different directions, or it's like I'm not hearing it. And it's, you know, been very hard, you know, for me to, like, settle and just stay somewhere.
And yeah, I think it might help to read my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, or listen to the MP3 or the CDs. Because one of the things I do in the book is I go back to the beginning, and that's what happened for me. I wanted to know how church was done at the embryonic stages of the Christian faith spreading throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. And so I started studying the succession from Christ to the apostles, from the apostles to the apostolic fathers, from the apostolic fathers to the holy fathers. And through that progression, I learned a lot about church history that I didn't know before. There was a time, of course, when there was only one way of doing church. And if you want to get some kind of a sense of how that works, you can actually read documents that were extant at the turn of the first century, moving into the second century, like the Didache. And there you get a sense of how church was done. And one of the things that really struck me was the significance of the Eucharist, that the Eucharist was central. It was at the centerpiece of church. It was the chief instrument for Christian divinization, meaning it was the chief instrument whereby we, as icons of God, can become God-like. We never become what God is by essence, but we can imbibe the energies of God and thereby be transformed. So I started looking at how the graces were dispensed in the early church. And that led me also to looking very critically not critically in the sense of criticizing, but looking very deeply at the seven ecumenical councils. And then church history to the split between the East and the West, where you now have Eastern Orthodoxy, as it were, and Roman Catholicism. And then 500 years later, where there's a split in the Western Church between the Protestants and the Roman Catholic Church. So now you have all kinds of fissuring that continues on in Protestantism. So if you reel it all back, you find out for 1,000 years, there was a unified sense of how church ought to be done. And then there was a split. But even with the split, the Eucharist was central. It became, as I said, for the church, the chief instrument through which a person could experience the energies of God. So I think that has to be central in your thinking. But I can't tell you where to go, and I can simply say that God has his people everywhere. I write about this in my last chapter of the book called Fusion. The idea that we need to fuse rather than fissure, because there has to be an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer that we all could be as one, even as Christ and the Father's one, so the world might believe that God sent Jesus Christ into the world. So I think a lot of this has to do with going back to what's central and what's most important. And for me, the central fact is that the church is a Eucharistic assembly, that the church is a spiritual gymnasium in which you receive graces that transform you, but you also learn spiritual disciplines that are transformational. And I think you have to get away from this whole transactional kind of Christianity, which has become so prominent in modern day church, which is you say a prayer, and now you have a pass to get into heaven and keep out of hell, and you can live as a baptized secular humanist as opposed to being transformed from one glory to another. So I think it might help you to read my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. That's why I wrote the book, because it's about the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in Apple Valley, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Hank. I am embarrassed to admit this, but I just have the hardest time trusting God. I see, I read in the scriptures about his love, but I don't feel it personally. And I am afraid to trust God. When when things are going well, I'm afraid because I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. When things are bad, I feel like this is the way I pay for being such a sinner. I've prayed, I've fasted, or I'm fasting now. Do you have any wisdom for me on the nature of God as it relates to me, in such a way that I can actually believe it?
Yeah. You know, I think you sort of, in your own preface to the question, answered the question. I mean, I think the idea for trust always involves knowing someone. I mean, I trust my wife because I know her. So things could be askew financially, but I know at the bedrock I trust my wife. So even if I can't figure out something in my head financially that might be going on in our life, I know I can trust my wife. I know her. I know what her skills are, and I trust her implicitly. So that's the same kind of idea we have to have with respect to God. The more we know him, the more we can trust him. So how do you know him? Well, you do the very things that you're talking about. You're talking about fasting. You're talking about getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you. You're talking about intimacy with God through prayer. You're talking about being a vital reproducing member in a healthy, well-balanced church, because you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. The church dispenses graces that give you the nourishing milk by which you grow. So I'm saying that I'm thinking about some of my grandchildren and watching them being nursed. Meditate on God's promises. God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And let me say, as I've gone through 3 years of cancer, I can tell you that some of my closest moments with God have not been on the mountaintop, but they've been in the valley, in the cauldron of adversity. You learn to trust God. You learn to know Him. You learn to recognize that He does all things, not capriciously, but rather for a good purpose, and that God always keeps His promises. That's what the Scripture tells us. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to His people, just as He promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises He gave through His servant Moses. That was true with the children of Israel, and it's true with you as a child of the King of Israel. Meditate on the Psalms, by the way. I think that would help you a lot. Psalms like Psalm 186 or Psalm 139 or Psalm 51, all of that I think will help you. I wish I could talk more to you, Kevin. I'm flat out of time. God bless you. I will commit to pray for you as soon as the broadcast is over. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for your support. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.